Morning. If you was in Sunday school, you said, wait a minute, we just did that. No, we didn't get it all done. Psalms 24, an excellent psalm in the Bible, talks about heaven, Zion, getting there. How are you going to get there? And those different things like that. Our message is going to start in verse 7. But we're going to start with verse 1 to get it all in context here. Verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Verse 6. "This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob," Selah. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you as we open up your precious word this morning and the great wonders and promises and the great excitement that you have for us today. I just ask now that your spirit will be here, your spirit will be in charge and control. And please, Jesus, help me bring your message to your people here today. The song is versed on this portion here in Psalms 20. Verse 7 of Psalms 24. We have the next major section in this psalm. And this is a psalm of victory. This is a psalm of joy. This is a psalm of something that has been waited for generations and generations and eons of time. It says here, there are all of these references in here to the gates and to the doors are all plural. "Lift up your heads," plural. "O ye gates," plural. "Ye everlasting doors," plural. Down in verse 9, heads, plural. Gates, plural again. Doors, plural again. All of these are referring to not just one gate, not just one door. They're referring to many, 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 many. In those days, many days, and back in the days of the Old Testament, and those cities were walled. And they had gates around these cities. And they would shut these gates, and they wouldn't let people come in. And the guy that was watching the gate, he had to know who was out there, who was coming in before he would open the gate. Now, this is the Lord God here, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he comes up to the gates. And he tells these, the gatekeeper, the people, the gates, "Lift up your heads. Wake up, look, see what's coming. See, take care of your job. Be proud of who you are and open up because I'm coming in. O ye gates, be lifted up. Open up these gates. Open wide these gates because," notice it says, "everlasting doors." We'll come back to that in a minute here. He is asking to come in. And then they say, "Well, who's that?" It says, "The King of glory." Notice in your Bible that the word king is capitalized. That's a proper noun. It is referring to Jesus Christ himself. As it says in Revelation, King of kings and Lord of lords. He came with many crowns. He went to the cross with a crown of thorns. And in heaven he got a crown of gold as he paid for our sins and became our king of our salvation. He became the King of glory. Now think about this term, King of glory. What is glory? Well, in Romans 3:23, it says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is this glory? What is this? What is this King of glory? Glory is honor. Glory is respect. Glory is a place of position. Glory is something that God has because He is holy. Holy means infinitely separated from sin. There is no sin at all with God. God cannot come in contact with sin. Because He is holy, He is infinitely separated from sin. Therefore, we have to come through Jesus to get there. But He is Jesus Christ, is the King of glory. King is the one that's in charge. The king has a kingdom. His kingdom is the kingdom of glory. His kingdom is the kingdom of God that He received from His Father. The Almighty, Holy, Everlasting, Self-Sustaining One. Lord, all in capital letters, refers to Jehovah. What did He tell Moses? I am that I am. Because I am, I am. I am that I am. He doesn't need anyone to make Him be. He doesn't need anyone to help Him be. He doesn't need any outside forces to help Him exist or anything. He is self-sustaining, everlasting, unchanging, immutable God. Jehovah, Lord, the King of glory, and Jesus is the King of the glory. Excuse me. Ye everlasting, the King of glory shall come in. Not maybe, not might. He says, I am coming in. Now you think about this. You got this big city, you're out there and you're watching this city and you're in charge of the gate, as He told them, the watchman, you're in the watchman. And this guy comes up and says, hey, I'm coming in. Open your gates. I'm coming in. There is no option. There is no option when the King of glory comes up to the gate. He says, I am coming in. I shall come in. Then it says in verse 8, who is the King of glory? Ask again. The Lord, there it is again, Jehovah, strong and mighty. God has the power to pull down any gate. Jesus can walk through any gate, go through anywhere He wants to. The tomb couldn't hold Him. The cross couldn't hold Him. Nothing can hold Jesus. He is strong. He is mighty. There is nothing that will keep Him out. He could rip those gates down and go right through them. But He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. Because it says He is strong and mighty in battle. In Revelation it says He is worthy. These gates, these everlasting gates, are the gates of heaven. These are the 12 gates of heaven, each one made out of a pearl. They are the everlasting gates. They are the everlasting doors. There is no other place that there is any such thing that is a gate or a door that is everlasting except in heaven. Because this heaven and earth will be done away with. There's new heaven and a new earth come down as adorned for a bride. This is the everlasting gates. This is the everlasting door. And these are 12 gates, each one made out of a pearl. It talks about in Revelation. And they are never shut at night because there is no night there. These are always open. Now. The access to heaven was not there until the strong and mighty in battle had went to the cross and won the victory. He defeated Satan in his own game. He come out of there. He became the victor. He was a warrior that went to the cross to fight for us, to fight for you, to fight for all of us, because he laid down his life for our sins, and he came there and he won the victory. Corinthians, it says, where is the victory? Where is the sting of the grave? Where is the victory of death? There is no more. Because the King of Glory has went to the battlefield and won the victory. The King of Glory is coming home. The King of Glory is going back to heaven. He has come through the cross. He has come through the tomb. He is victorious. He is the winner. And he comes up to the gates of heaven. He says, lift up your heads, you everlasting gates. Open, you everlasting doors. The King of Glory shall come in. That is the first time that a human being ever walked through those doors. Jesus became a human being. He became the Son of Man in the manger. He did not get his beginning, but he became a human being. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. And this is the first time that a human being, flesh and bone, has walked through those gates of heaven. They had never seen a man like Jesus before. And there never was a man like Jesus, and there never will be a man like Jesus. And he is still the strong and mighty. He is the one that's mighty in battle. In Romans it says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. On the cross. In the tomb. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Now notice here in verse 7 and in verse 9, it's almost the same wording. Just a little bit different. Verse 10 is the same question. Who is the King of Glory? But now it's not the strong and mighty. It's not the Lord mighty in battle. It is the Lord of hosts. He is King of Glory. The Lord, what is a host? A host is a large group, a large assembly, a whole bunch. In the beginning of this psalm, it talks about He is a creator. He is the owner of the earth and the world and the fullness and all the life thereof. He belongs, all of that belongs to Him. This creation is His. In John chapter 1, there wasn't anything made that wasn't made by Him. And the Word made all these things. Jesus Christ, God spoke and there was being. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's the same Jesus. It's the same one. But this is a different entrance here. There's two entrances into heaven by the King of Glory. The first entrance into heaven by the King of Glory is as He came out of the tomb. He says, don't hold me, I haven't ascended unto my Father. She wanted to hold on to Him. The high priest hadn't made His sacrifice yet. It talks about He led captivity captive. What did He tell the thief on the cross? Today thou will be with me in paradise. Remember I said this is the first time that a human being has ever walked through the streets of gold and through the gates of pearl? This is the first time that's ever happened. The thief that died on the cross, he's in heaven today. But he wasn't in heaven that day he died on the cross. He went to paradise, where the Old Testament saints went. Because the sacrifice had not been made yet. Until the battle had been fought, until the victory had been won, then there was no access through the gates into heaven. But once the sacrifice had been made, then they could get into heaven. Now don't get everybody's saved the same way. Those in the Old Testament were looking forward to the cross. Those of the New Testament were looking back on the cross. They were waiting for the cross to take place. When it took place, then they had access to heaven. We look back on the cross, it's already taken place, so we have access to heaven. It's all the same. But they were in paradise. Jesus took all of those saints, look in Matthew, to heaven with him. A host which cannot be numbered, it says in Revelation. But listen, there's also another time when he's going to come back and the trump of the Lord is going to sound. And we're going to meet him in the clouds and ever be with the Lord. Then the King of Glory is going to have a host behind him as he comes up into the gates of heaven and says, "Lift up your heads, ye gates. Open your doors, you everlasting doors." And he's going to lead because he is the Lord of the host. The group. The people. Once Jesus opened those gates, they will never be shut again. Once the way has been made, it is always there and is always open. There is always an access. It will always be there. Why? Because he is mighty in battle. When there's a word here used a couple of times in this verse, in this chapter. It's used other times in the Bible. Somebody counted up 70 some odd times this word is used in Psalms. But it's Selah. If you notice, it's in the end of verse 6, and it's the end of verse 10. That means to kind of an interlude while the music played. These were songs they sung. And while the music plays, you stop, you think about what has just happened, meditate on it, let it sink in, and apply it to your life. We mentioned in Sunday school, we are all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. This psalm is a psalm of prophecy and fulfillment. When it was written, none of it had been fulfilled. In Psalms 22, Jesus talks about himself being a worm, a no man. He says, "The bones stare upon myself. They pierce my hands and my feet," as he talks about in Psalms 22. "I am but a worm." Then in the 24th Psalm, he is the King of Glory. The first time those gates were opened for a human being was over 2,000 years ago. They're still open. And they're waiting. And they're waiting. And they're waiting until the time to be let in again by Jesus. There will come a day when Jesus comes back, He says he's going to come back in the same manner that he left. There's going to be a day he's going to come back and he's going to take his people with him to heaven. And when that day takes place, those gates will be open. All 12 of those gates will be open. And will lead his people into that city to ever be with the Lord. There's a few things that's going to happen after the rapture, but then the new heaven and the new earth come down. It says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Remember, I mentioned that the Lord can tear down any gate and any door. He is all powerful, almighty. He defeated the devil. It says in Hebrews, he went through death. Not up to death or almost to death, but he actually went through death. How do we know he's victorious? How do we know that he won the battle? Because the cross is empty. Because the tomb is empty. And that proves that he won the victory. That proves that it is finished. That proves that there is no more sting in the grave and in sin and in death. Remember, he told Mary and Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, "If you believe in him, you shall never die." He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." For a Christian, there is never a time, an instant, a moment in time that that Christian soul will ever be separated from Jesus. Even at death, you are not separated from Jesus. You're just with Jesus. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's not a soul sleep or a time of no. Can't find that in the Bible. Five times from verse 7 to verse 10, he is referred to as the King of Glory. But there's another door that he could just barge through and rip down if he wanted to. But this is a door that he comes to and he waits patiently outside and knocks. Have you seen that picture of the shepherd with his staff standing at the door knocking? Famous picture. Look at that picture. On Jesus' side, there is no doorknob. There is no latch. There's no handle. There's only the hinges on Jesus' side. What's that represent? This comes out of this Revelation chapter 3. That's the door to your heart. And Jesus comes up to that door and knocks. And he knocks, 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 and he just keeps on knocking. What stops the knocking is one of two things. Open the door, or their heart stops that he's knocking on. You die. Your soul. Only two things are going to stop that knocking. You open it, or you die. If you don't open it before you die, he's still outside and not in your life. Why doesn't he just rip in and come in and charge through? Because he wants you to let him in. He wants you to love him. You can't force love. You can't make somebody love you. Oh, He loves us, and while we're yet sinners, it says in Romans 5. He loves you. He loves you just like you are. But He wants in your life. What's it say in Revelation? I will come into Him and will sup with Him and He with me. It's not just just an acquaintance. He wants to be a part of your life. He will come and sup with you. He's going to sit down at the supper table with you. He's going to be a part of your life. He's going to be a part of your home. He's going to be a part of everything. It's not just get Jesus and not go to hell. No. When you invite Him in your life, you invite Him to be a part of your life. And He comes in your life and He becomes a part of your life. He dwells in your life. Sup. He fellowships with you. He's a part of your life. And then, when He leads His host into heaven, you'll be the one of them that goes with Him. The Lord of the host. But you see, we know He's strong and mighty in battle. We know what He's done. We know He's won the victory. And we know someday as a Christian you'll see Him. But my question is it real to you? It's not a matter of knowing all of this information. It's a matter of applying it. I don't know if you caught it in that song. It talks about Jesus and Satan recognizing Him. It says that the devils believe and tremble. It's not a question of if Jesus is real. They know He's real. It's not a question of whether you believe He's real or not. The question is He real in your life? Have you invited Him in your life? Have you invited Him to be a part of your life? Have you invited Him in to come and sup with you and be a part of your life? Or is He just somebody you know? Is He just somebody you know about? Is He just an acquaintance that maybe you hear about once in a while or think about once in a while? Is He really, really a part of your life? You must open that door to let Jesus in. If you do not, He stays outside. He gave everyone a will. It said, whosoever will. And Romans says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They say whosoever hears about Him and knows about Him or understands about Him. There has to come a point in your life when you realize you need Jesus. You're on your way to hell. And you know He can save you. You want Him to. And you ask Him. You ask Him to come in your life. And change your life. And turn your life around. The word is called repent. It's not just what they call fire insurance. Well, I don't want to go to hell. It's having the Lord of the host, strong and mighty in battle, dwelling in your life. Because you have battles to face every day. You have victories that have to be won every day. The devil is out there fighting against you. And you need the captain of the host of salvation to dwell in your life to help you through those battles that you're going to face every day. Otherwise, you will not be a victor. You will be a victim. But Jesus
will be your captain if you'll let him in.
Let's stand at our feet while we have a time of invitation and see what God would want in your life, what God wants to do in your life. I don't know. It's up to you and what Jesus wants to do in your life. Dear Jesus, we just ask that you, as we take this time, that your Spirit will be in charge, that your Spirit will have freedom, and that you'll move in and among us and work in each one of our individual lives as we come close to you. Thank you, Jesus.